bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled in this afternoon, and we give thee thanks for this opportunity. We pray as we open thy word that thou would reveal thyself unto us, that thou would speak mightily to each of our hearts, O Lord, to bring us to the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, a desire to read for this afternoon's meditation from the first epistle of John, chapter number 1. The first epistle of John, chapter number 1. Ljubim za želim da se pročita prva poslanica Jovanova, prva glava. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There was the Apostle John in this epistle reveals to us and shows to us Jesus Christ as eternal, as he opens this epistle, he talks about that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, he says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. When we look at the beginning, we realize that John is showing forth that Jesus was self-existent. He was God. He was self-existing from the beginning. He and his life was manifested so that we could see it. It was made manifest. God came down to show us, to show the apostles, his disciples, and to bear witness, he says, and to show unto you that eternal life. He says, we have seen it. We have seen him. We have seen the word of life with our own eyes. They are firsthand witnesses of what they have seen, what they have looked upon, what their hands have touched, what they've heard, and They are witnesses, and they bear witnesses and show unto you that eternal life. They show us eternal life, which comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare it unto you. We've seen it, we've heard it, and now we share it with you. For what purpose? He says, so that you also may have a fellowship with us. Because, and then he goes on to say, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. The thought of fellowship, dear ones, he says, Apostle Paul talks about, and he says, the knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. John here has seen and handled, touched Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is persuading us today as we read this, and then that day when the epistle was read, so that we would also enter into that union, into that fellowship, to have that communion with the Lord, because that is eternal life. The only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to this, to eternity, to life eternal, is through Jesus Christ. So we declare him unto you. His life was made manifest unto us, and we now declare him unto you so that you also could enter into this fellowship with Jesus Christ. And dear ones, we go on, then he tells us this test, a test, really. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. This is the message. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. You cannot accuse God of anything evil. You cannot accuse him of anything. He is God is light. In him is no darkness at all. It says God is light. Jesus, in the epistle of John, or I'm sorry, in the gospel of John, John records that Jesus' own words, he says, I am the light of the world. John here is showing and explaining to us that God is light. Jesus said he is light. Jesus and God are one. And he says here, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It says of John the Baptist, it says that he was a shining and a burning light. John was a shining and a burning light. Jesus is the light of the world. How can John the Baptist be a shining and a burning light if the word of life is the light? And we have read that in this morning in a beautiful passage in Ephesians. We've read that. How we, the church, and God come together and become one. We are one. And so Jesus also declares unto us that you are the light. And so that's why John the Baptist was able to be said of him, he was a shining and a burning light. And the challenge and the test for us, this test of righteousness, is exactly that. Can it be said of us, dear ones, that we are shining and burning lights? Is the fullness that we have read of this morning, is the fullness of Christ me, you, Because we have to be. Because we have come together to be one. Jesus is in me. Jesus is in you. And so we become one with him, and we now become the lights as he is the light. And light, we know, dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. Darkness has no power over light. None. Light will always dispel darkness, but darkness cannot come into this room with the lights ablaze and bring darkness in here. You cannot do that because there is darkness in here. But when the lights come on, it dispels the darkness. And so Jesus, as it tells us here, this is the message which we have heard and which we declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so, dear ones, if we are to be as lights in the world, if we are to be burning lights, shining lights, darkness has to be dispelled. Darkness within and darkness wherever we make manifest Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with him, this, dear ones, is the test. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. And so what do we think of immediately? What is darkness? Anything that is opposed to the will of God is the world. I believe it's in this very next chapter. Yes, verse 15, John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So if it's not of the Father, it's darkness. "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the will of God, abiding in his will, is abiding in his light, and therefore we become light because we are one with him. And so we become the shining and the burning light that dispels darkness. So what is the world? We have to get an understanding of what is the world. Anything that is outside of the will of God. And we would say, we could also say anything that is temporal. But with that, we have to also be cautious, because there are many things. The Lord created all the things that are seen. All of them are temporal. It all will vanish away. But we cannot become like monks, where we would feel that we need to be separate and separate ourselves from everything and be extremists. And yes, there is such a thing. Being an extremist, where we think it's even sin to go for a walk and or a hike or go to a park and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. No, but that point can become a problem, because we know that there are those who worship the sun and the stars. They take the creation of God and turn it into idol worship. But the world, mainly as we can define it, is those things that are against the will of God. And so, if we want to pass the test, am I a light? Can my works stand in the light? And I always use the term the blazing light of the word of life that John here says was from the beginning, and we have seen him, we have handled him, we have heard him, and we declare him unto you, so that you also could have that fellowship. What makes you convinced that you have fellowship with Christ? What is the point that we look at to say, here and here is my fellowship with Him? Is it my declaration that I'm a Christian? Is it because I was baptized? What is it that I can look upon and declare that I have passed the test of righteousness? Will I say, well, I have no sin because I was just told here that I'm a liar then? But it says here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In front of that, he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him. As we have fellowship with Him, we will have fellowship one with another. Why? Because when we love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, and soul, we also love one another. That is another test. But if I cannot have fellowship with you, and I can say, well, because you are evil, because you're no good, and I cannot have fellowship, but you won't come to me to reveal and to come to an understanding of where am I evil or where you are evil or so on. What is it that breaks our fellowship? The only thing that can break fellowship is sin. My personality shouldn't break our fellowship because that reveals there's no love. My custom shouldn't break our fellowship because we have to keep in mind here what is John revealing here is revealing light. Light brings us into fellowship one with another, with Christ and with one another. The light is the Word. The Word is Christ. He alone brings us into fellowship with Him. And we are in fellowship with Him, we are in fellowship with one another. If we don't have fellowship one with another, it's because we are lying that we love Him and we do not. That's the test. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And he goes on and says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean to confess a sin? What does that mean to confess sin? Because we are asked here, if we confess them, He will forgive us. He is just. See, God is holy. And so in His presence, sin cannot abide. But He is also just. And so the blood of Christ, which was the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could take away our sins and cleanse us, is applied when we confess our sin. And to confess our sin means that God has stated His will. And so God has described what sin is. When I confess my sin, I am saying that I am in agreement with God. When if I and you are in opposition of some kind, and then I finally come to the realization that what you were saying is true, I confess to you that those things which you were saying are the truth, and I am in agreement with them, and I am with you in that. Confession of sin is not a mere approaching a priest and confessing your sin. The priest, no one can forgive sin other than God Himself. You cannot come to me, and I come to you to confess our sins one to another, and I go out and repeat and repeat and repeat and come back and go back and come back and expect forgiveness. Confession is where I have come to the point and I realize that what God has spoken, I am in agreement with. I am in agreement with that. It means I am bringing my life into agreement with that. I am entering into fellowship with Him. Why? Because He is the light. He has been revealed. He made Himself manifest. He showed Himself to me. I am in His light. basking in his light, reveling in that which he is, being with him. And being in him is outside of darkness. It means I have confessed. And so when we have struggles with sin, dear ones, we have to first realize, oh, I might know I have sin, and I know what it is. But if I continue in it, that means I am acknowledging that that is sin, but I will not come into an agreement where I am to subject myself unto that. In other words, I am running from the light, because the light will displace that darkness. It will completely expose it. And the only way to be cleansed of the unrighteousness of sin is through the confession of agreeing with God, meaning not, yes, I know that is sin, but to agree, meaning to repent. You have agreed, you have brought yourself into subjection to his law. And bringing myself into subjection unto his law, unto him, unto that light, I now have fellowship. Why? Because he is just, and he forgave me. He forgave me. I'm cleansed. I'm free. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Are we oftentimes robbed of joy? Absolutely. Why, we might ask? We read it. We failed the test of righteousness. We failed the test of righteousness and we lose our joy. And when we lose our joy, nothing good happens. Unless we confess. Bring our lives back into agreement, back into the light of Jesus Christ. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, if I say I just have faults, and I refuse to accept that they are sins, I'm a liar. And his word is not in me. That's what John says here. His word is not in me. So, but what I have to do when I recognize my sin, I need to confess it. And again, doesn't mean just go and make a confession, but continue in the sin. Making a confession to God, and if need be, to one another. Why do we confess one to another? When we have no victory over it, when we feel we need help, when we need prayers, when I cannot do this on my own. Why? Because I need someone to pray with me, to pray for me. I covet your help. I need you. And when we do that, when we come to one another, we don't come to one another to be taken to judgment. We come to one another to help me. I come to you for you can help me to be cleansed. Bring me back. Show me that which I have lost. The light, I'm in darkness. I can't see where I'm going. And so, dear ones, to have fellowship with him, we know what having fellowship one with another is. We have friends or real close relationships one with another where we almost know what we're thinking. It's been said to me, I know what you're thinking. I said, how do you know what I'm thinking? Because I didn't say a word. I know you. I know you. And in this circumstance, I know how you're thinking. Why? Why can that person say that about me? Because they have a relationship with me. They know me. Well, can we hide our thoughts from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator? He knows our thoughts. He knows everything. We can't lie to him. We can't say that we are free of sin, that I'm not sin, and I'm going to pick on you and one another and try to act as some holy, righteous person, and I'm not. Because the Lord knows me. He knows my thoughts. And Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We want to persuade you. Why? The day of the Lord is coming. It's coming. He wants to persuade us to come and have fellowship with Him. Dear ones, Adam and Eve lost that fellowship. They had fellowship with Him, and they lost it. They lost it. Why? Disobedience. That's it. Disobedience. So we lose fellowship with Him when we are disobedient. Faith in Him and obedience brings a fellowship with Him that makes our joy full, and there's nothing that can move us. And we live in the light. The light shines. We become shining lights, burning lights. Yes, we, mere men, full of all kinds of faults and problems, and in Him, we can shine and we can point to Jesus, the one who makes our joy full. And so the Apostle John is bringing these truths to us, that we don't fall in love with the world, that we don't fall in love with the things that are in the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. Meaning you do not walk in the light. Meaning you're in darkness. And so, dear ones, the test of righteousness that we have read through the leading and direction of the Spirit of God through the pen of His apostle is for us to not merely say, well, God says we all have sin, so God will forgive us all. He knows. No, this is for each of us to come and confess our sins, to agree with God, to agree with Him. And in that agreement, repent and side with Him, meaning I'm in the light. The light has shined down upon me and brought me into fellowship with Him. I am one with Him. That which we all desire. And so may God give unto us, dear ones, not a despondency that I can't do it, but rather, Lord, give me the will. Give me the ability to love You, Lord, as You have loved me. And He has loved us as the Father has loved Him. And there's no greater love than what Jesus has for us. And yet we can also love one another with that same love. If we don't, dear ones, we are not in fellowship with Him. May God lead us to the truth, lead us to the light, so that darkness would be dispelled in each of us, and so we would truly be as John the Baptist was, a shining light and a burning light, pointing to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen.
The Word of God gives instruction to help us order our lives after the pattern that's given. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And the test that is given in 1 John chapter 1 speaks of the walk, our lifestyle. our day-to-day decisions, our attitude, our behavior, and our thoughts. Every song that we sing has a tempo and a meter and order. The counsel of the world has a particular order and a tempo and a meter. And it comes out of those that follow ungodly counsel. And it's manifest. It's clear. It makes itself known. There is a song. There is an order to the child of God that sincerely and with dedication looks at the Word and looks at Jesus as the only one, as we sung, none else can show the way. And look to Him for direction, for wisdom, and follow the commands that He's given. May God give us grace that we can resist to follow a world that says only go so far with faith. But Jesus says, follow me. And He went to the cross. And where He is, there's light and there's joy. May God bless each of us as we go from this place that we might walk in the order that God has given in His Word. Amen.